Bertemu kembali, apakah formula untuk menjual produk fashion di atas talian dan juga bagaimana untuk memastikan kualiti, harga dan jenama atau branding dalam dibina ataupun dapat dibina dan juga dikekalkan di tengah persaingan yang sengit daripada pelbagai pengeluar pakaian dalam dan juga luar negara. Dalam masa yang sama, di tengah-tengah membincangkan proses pendigitalan, kita juga ingin mengetahui formula untuk pemasaran dan juga pembinaan jenama di atas talian. Hari ini, kita akan membincangkan pembinaan jenama Oxwhite, jenama gaya hidup mewah yang mensasarkan bentuk tubuh Asia. Secara ringkas, Oxwhite memecahkan rekod dalam usaha meraih dana equity dengan 485 pelabur dan pelaburan $1.188 juta dan kini ia mempunyai sekitar 80,000 pelanggan dan juga jualan 400,000 barangan. Kita bersama dengan pengasas Oxwhite, CK Chang. Izinkan saya meneruskan perbincangan dalam bahasa Inggeris. CK, thank you for joining us, CK.
Thank you, Rizal.
CK, first of all, when you first started Oxwhite, you advertise heavily on social media. And yes, these days, because of COVID-19, a lot of businesses are changing the way they promote their products and services. Tell us about that journey, about Oxwhite's journey on social media and how you build your brand on social media.
Sure. Oxwhite started with a single white shirt and it's pre-ordered for 3 months. And we started 2 years ago. So during the Oxwhite journey, we found out that customers are really looking forward for a premium quality but affordable price. Mm-hmm. So we build the brand through social media, especially through Facebook, because we know that Facebook is most our consumers spend time on and is a very effective media. Mm-hmm. So that is the journey that we have built to start the brand using Facebook as our advertising channel to reach out to our consumers.
Was it a very challenging journey? What was your background before that?
Wow, it is very challenging journey at the very beginning because we started with one single product, which is one hero product, and we do a pre-order business model. That means a customer back then waited 3 months for the shirt. Mm. So during the journey, it's very exciting, and the business model has switched during the COVID-19 from a single white shirt, and we saw a demand from customers. They are looking for more casual products because people are staying home. Mm-hmm. So we pivot the business to introduce more casual products like innerwear, t-shirts, polo shirts, and home care product. And that was a big hit during the COVID-19 period.
So you introduced new products during the COVID-19 MCO period.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of companies were trying to fulfill your top line during COVID-19 MCO
yes.
period, but you introduced new products.
Every month we introduce new products, and because the product we introduce, we communicate well and relate well with the current situation, and we have support from the factory, so we can roll out the product very fast. And through the online social media, even we don't have a shops, but we can reach out to consumers, they can buy them, we can ship to them in very short time.
In the period of 2 years, you've now have about 80,000 customers.
Yes.
And you have sold over 400,000 items, and this all created on that social media or on social media platforms, right?
Yes. Yes,
and how did you retain your customers? Because I speak on behalf of many people out
yes.
there that when you
yes.
see ads on social media, you tend yes. to ignore and dismiss them.
Yes.
But what's the formula behind that? How do you translate views to click to people buying your products?
Surely. Rizal, one of the biggest achievement or success formula we have adopt is building a social trust.
Mm-hmm.
A social trust is that a customers, when they see the product from the ads, there is a product reviews, and not one or two reviews, there are hundreds if not thousands of review for a single particular brand, single particular product. So I took the example from AirAsia and from Agoda Booking and even from Airbnb. All these brands are built from customers trust, because it's a social trust they have. They say, if someone says it's very good, then I buy it. So we build the journey from customers knowing the product is good from peer reviews. So that has built us to build a very good brand. We're providing premium quality and the price everyone can afford.
Let's talk about how businesses these days, they're also looking to promote their products on social media. But I think they still do not know where to find the right way to do it.
Yes.
What advice would you give to businesses, especially during the MCO, where they look at social media as a platform to make sales?
Yep.
But now, a lot of businesses, they've been open again, right? They're opening again. And they're probably pushing their social media promotion aside. What advice do you have for them?
I would say they should keep looking into the social media because this will be the future. Regardless you invest and you know about it, it will keep evolve. Like yesterday we have Facebook, today we have TikTok, and there will be more coming up. So by catching up on the real technology, on the real social media platform, you know how to connect to the future, your customers, which is the new generation of customers. So for Oxwhite, we always believe that connecting to customers the best possible way. So we invested heavily on social media because that is the way we connect to consumers. And previously, a lot of SMEs, they connect their brands to a physical outlet. And we know that if a similar COVID-19 pandemic hits us and make us very vulnerable, not able to reach out to our customers. And I have a close case. I have known someone operation of a local five-star hotel here in Klang Valley. During the pandemic, although they want to do a food delivery using their central kitchen they have in the hotel, guess what? They don't have database of the customers. Imagine being a five-star hotel. There are thousands of people attend events every week in the hotel. They don't have this customer database. When even they want to introduce a takeout food, home-cooked food, takeout food, they can't do it. There's no database for them to reach out to. So the very basic principle, I wouldn't say started it online, is to know your customers. Regardless today you are makcik selling a nasi lemak or a pakcik selling kuih keropok leko in Kuantan, you should have your customer base. You should at least have the phone number, if not their email. By having this contact, imagine by you changing a store location, by you upgrading, by you expanding, you can tell your customers where you are doing, what you are doing, and where you are doing.
So it's also about that connection with your customers, right?
Yes, yes.
So
always,
do you know
always.
All these 80,000 customers? I mean, their profile, their background, what they do, what they like, and all that. Do you roughly know what they...
Yes, we know. We know how frequent they make the purchase, and then what they buy. Facebook knows their preference. For example, today I would like to introduce a home care product. So we know we can target those mummies, age group that we want, their preference of the brand, they liked the brand before. We can target a similar audience so that our product, when we launch, we reach out to the customers who have a similar preference. So this is a very, very powerful tool. So that we don't simply waste the money we on spending on advertising, but it's a very targeted spending.
So it's not just to promote your brand or to sell your products, but also to look at your customer base, the back-end processes as well, right?
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about physical outlets. You mentioned physical outlets earlier. I know you started online, but now you also have a customer experience place, center in Surakarta LCC. Tell us more why the need to move from online to also offline or physical stores.
Definitely. So initially, our target customers are very young, from 20 years old to 35 years old. But we have also customers that they're above 35 or between 20 to 35, but they want to touch and feel of the product before they confirm to buy online or they can buy a physical store. So we have a lot of requests. And by looking at the request, the locality, so we found out that KLCC and Gardens in Mid Valley is a good place for us to invest in the store for this customer in case they just want to have touch and feel. And from the ground feedback as well, a lot of customers go and touch and try the size, they still buy online. So these kind of customers, they need extra step of assurance that this is exactly what they're getting. So a physical store like this can help us to convert more sales.
Does that add to your customers trusting your products even more because they can see, they can feel the quality?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Uh-huh. Tell us more about that trust element in that in online business, because I think when we see ads online, there's very little trust as to the quality of the products,
yeah,
the delivery, the services provided with that product.
Yes.
Tell us more about that trust component in online business. Is it difficult to build, or how did you build that?
Wow, the first trust that we built is always a peer review. Mm-hmm. When Auswag started, our first product was 3 months delivery. Nobody have seen the product except I wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine someone have purchased, you have to wait 3 months. So what I got to do, I got to be a working model. Mm-hmm. Every event I go to, people I met, I say, hey, would you want to touch my shirt? How you feel it? After that, for example, result, can you give us a review on my Facebook page? Mm. You know, you have met CK, you touched the product, and it's real. So building upon this foundation, we expand it into, once customers receive the product, we encourage them to do an unboxing video for us. Mm. We encourage them to fit on the shirt and tell their friends, tell their peers how they felt about the shirt. Mm. And this review, we encourage them by giving them credit. After they receive a product, within 7 days, they will get an email. They say, hey, would you like to review the product? Are you happy? If you're happy, please review the product. So if you do so, we give you a 5 ringgit credit for your next purchase. So we encourage a review, a peer system, which is proven in Airbnb, Booking.com, and all others new services today.
In December, you secured about 1.188 million investment,
yeah,
from 485 investors. What do you want to do with that money?
Well, most part of the money result we use to develop our new products. Mm-hmm. Because we started with just 300,000 of my savings and some of my friends that supported the business. So all this money we spend on Facebook to let people know about the brand, we don't have money left to develop new product. So with the funds that we raised from equity crowdfunding, that enable us to hire right talents to develop much better product in shorter time, and we can have the inventory on hand, and then we only do the selling to customers. So the first 1 year of our business model was pre-order. Simply customer pay now, get the products 3 months later, but now all the products you see in our website is on ready stock. Some customer can go and buy, and they can get the products within 3 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm. And moving forward, how do you set yourself apart from all the other competitors out there? We know there's this brand from Japan, there are many brands from China, but you're starting to look a bit similar to all these brands. How
yes.
do you set yourself apart, especially in Malaysia and the markets in Southeast Asia? What plans do you have to set yourself apart from all these other competitors?
Surely. Auswag started with the belief that why we have to pay so much more for quality.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that from my past working experience in fashion, products are not expensive to make. They are just expensive to sell because of middlemen, because of retail locations. So when Auswag started, I have a belief, how can we produce quality products at the price everyone can afford?
Mm-hmm.
So Auswag missions is to help people, or Asian people, looks good, feel good, affordably. So every product that we do, we choose to have a premium quality, premium workmanship, and the price point every Asian can afford. So a lot of big brands out there, they are higher in price.
Mm-hmm.
That translate not affordable for average Malaysian or for ASEAN people. So when Auswag started, I know that I have to truly stay online, be cost very effective, and bring down the cost and pass on the savings into consumers' hand. And then we use the community. Auswag have more than 23,000 community members that tell us the feedback, how they like the product, okay, what product they want to have. So this is our secret weapons. So even a new product we not yet developed, often, besides we ask the product team, we go up to community center, would you like to have the product? And they say, yes, we will develop it.
Thank you very much. On that note, CK Chang, pengasas Oxford, membincangkan bersama kita berkenaan dengan pembinaan jenama dan juga bagaimana Oxford memanfaatkan platform media sosial di atas talian untuk mendapatkan dan juga membina jenama tersebut. Kita akan teruskan pada laporan seterusnya. Terima kasih, CK. Dan seterusnya, rang Undang-Undang Insolvensi Pindaan 2020 yang bertujuan meminda Akta Insolvensi 1967, Akta 360, diluluskan dengan suara terbanyak ahli Dewan Rakyat. Menurut Menteri di Jabatan Perdana Menteri, Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan, ketika membentangkan rang undang-undang itu, Akta 360 dipinda berdasarkan keperluan tertentu termasuk mentransformasi kerangka perundangan sedia ada kepada perundangan yang lebih relevan dengan keperluan semasa.
Beliau berkata ia juga bagi mengemas kini akta itu agar selaras dengan perkembangan dan kemajuan perundangan antarabangsa berkenaan insolvensi, tadbir urus korporat dan amalan terbaik dalam insolvensi. Taqiyuddin berkata rang undang-undang itu akan memberikan kesan positif seperti memberi peluang kepada individu untuk mengukuhkan ekonomi semasa tanpa kekangan yang timbul daripada tindakan kebangkrapan. Ia turut memberi peluang kepada individu dari segi pengurusan kewangan, lebih-lebih lagi setelah berhadapan situasi yang tidak dijangka seperti COVID-19 serta mengelakkan pertambahan mendadak kes kebangkrapan dalam masa singkat. Taqiyuddin berkata kini kerajaan menaikkan nilai ambang hutang minimum bagi mengemukakan petisyen kebangkrapan daripada RM50,000 kepada RM100,000. Ini sekaligus menjadikan akta itu bersifat lebih responsif dan komprehensif terhadap keperluan dan isu-isu semasa berkaitan insolvensi.
Sementara itu, rang undang-undang langkah-langkah sementara bagi mengurangkan kesan penyakit coronavirus 2019 COVID-19 2020 mengambil masa untuk dibentangkan di Parlimen kerana melibatkan perancangan dan perbincangan dengan pelbagai pihak berkepentingan. Ketika menggulung rang undang-undang itu, Menteri di Jabatan Perdana Menteri Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan berkata, langkah itu bagi memastikan rang undang-undang itu lebih berkesan dalam membantu pihak yang terkesan dengan pandemik COVID-19. Jelasnya, kerajaan telah membuat pindaan rang undang-undang itu kepada 58 perkara melibatkan kepentingan rakyat termasuk pengecualian stamp, cukai pendapatan dan peremitan fee, sementara 24 daripadanya adalah berkaitan ekonomi. Terdahulu, majoriti ahli Parlimen Pembangkang mempersoalkan kelewatan rang undang-undang itu dibentangkan di Parlimen serta membandingkan langkah Singapura yang meluluskan Akta Langkah-Langkah Sementara COVID-19 2020 untuk negara berkenaan pada 7 April. Undang-undang berkenaan bertujuan mengadakan peruntukan bagi langkah-langkah sementara bagi mengurangkan kesan COVID-19 termasuk mengubah suai 16 perundangan iaitu Akta Had Masa 1953, Ordinan Had Masa Sabah dan Ordinan Had Masa Sarawak.
Dan paparan itu mengakhiri Niaga Awani untuk pagi ini. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani, berita segenap dimensi. Saya Rizal Zulkapli. Salam hormat.